This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and Vijay Vaitheeswaran, the Energy and Climate Innovation Editor of The Economist magazine, is here. We've reviewed what is going wrong. We've reviewed the scary limits of the tipping points that are said to be elicited in an IPCC report from the UN next year. There's a leak now about some of the tipping points. There are 12 of them. We've only discussed two. However, turning on all this, if I understand correctly, is energy usage, particularly electricity usage, which is a heavy demand for those of us in not only the developed world, but at the forefront of civilization, culture, science, etc. Vijay, I turn to what can be done, because there is a positive note here in the IPCC report that this is fixable. What you at The Economist are reporting now is remedies that are already in place by the utility companies. Battery remedies in particular, added to the renewables about solar and renewables about wind. Is this, to your measure, you've been watching this for at least a decade or more, is it, to your measure, an acceleration of the search for renewables to satisfy our electricity needs?
John, you're quite right that there is something powerful happening in American electricity. We're beginning to accelerate not just the decarbonization, that is, reducing the greenhouse gas emissions from the traditionally coal plants that that have tended to dominate the U.S. energy industry in the last 50 years. But we're beginning to see a huge ramp up in renewables. In the first quarter of this year, almost all the new generation installed was wind and solar, and quite large amounts of it, record amounts of it. But there's something even more interesting than that, and that's something I've argued for many years, is a change in paradigm from the centralized big power plant mindset, the top-down mindset that tends to dominate how utilities think in America and around the world, to one that sees more of a decentralized approach and the one that takes demand into account. That's where your observation about batteries and other forms of demand management come into play. California is leading the U.S. and the world in installing grid scale. That means really big batteries, energy storage units, we can call them, on the grid. And the advantage that these have, we're talking megawatt scale, right? Not just a puny one in your cell phone or bundles of puny ones in your Tesla electric car, but massive ones that solar panels, for example, start to become less useful at sunset. That's when many Californians turn on their lights and there's a spike in usage. Normally, the grid might have a problem at that point. These batteries that are online can last those crucial 4 hours, bridging the gap until later in the night when demand falls. And that ability to provide power at one of the peaks, or what's called peak shaving or demand shifting, can have a huge impact in reducing the grid's vulnerability to blackouts and brownouts. So that's a big problem in the American West, especially this year, because drought is so bad in the American West that the levels of hydropower that are available, typically one of the big sources of energy for the American West, are quite low. So we have both low hydro because of the drought situation and a high wildfire risk as well this year, which has affected the power lines infamously in California, leading to blackouts and deaths and so on. Given this tinderbox that we have, it's really good news that not only is there escalation of clean energy, but also ways of delivering power at peak, among them these kinds of batteries, as well as clever aggregators of demand. What companies that are giving out smart thermostats, for example, from Google, and they'll reduce your demand at peak and give you a reward. In other words, they'll turn down your thermostat a couple of degrees if the grid is about to go overload automatically and give you a reward for helping prevent the blackout. That's the technology we've got now on the grid in California, and it's making a difference.
Yes, you're talking about Ohm Connect, the startup that is backed by Alphabet. Let me see if I understand it. You can demonstrate the electricity you have not used. Is that how it does? And therefore,
absolutely.
And you can participate in a pool of money that is distributed for not using. I wasn't quite sure about that monetizing part.
So the way it works, for example, they're giving away a million smart thermostats. They already have 180,000 customers, and UCLA has studied how this works, and they've concluded, an academic team, that let's say you were going to keep your thermostat at, you know, a cool temperature, 68 degrees, let's say, during a very hot day. And instead, because Ohm Connect knows the grid is about to reach overload, and spot prices go up very high in the spot market, that is, prices, wholesale prices shoot up, and the grid operator is begging for people, please turn down your thermostats. Most people are busy. We don't really turn it down. Well, Ohm Connect will automatically turn down your thermostat or use of other devices that you agree to at that peak period. It'll collect, it'll pay in that conservation, as it were, in the form of demand reduction and get paid for it by the grid operator. They get paid premium prices, and they share those rewards with you, the consumer. So from your point of view, a smart thermostat in your house, you don't really notice the difference between 68 degrees and 70 degrees. You're still comfortable in your house, and you get a check at the end of the month from the company. It's a win-win-win for consumers, for the environment, as well as for the grid, since we've avoided blackouts.
It occurred to me while reading this, that would work for industry as well, wouldn't it, Vijay? I mean, this idea of augmenting your income, your monthly income, on the basis of saving energy usage, you could convince people. It's a kind of effect of carbon pricing. You get rewarded for being cautious about climate.
Well, for sure. No, and to be clear, industry has often had contracts that allows the utility to cut their power, that is, interruptible contracts. And unless you're in a vital industry, let's say a hospital or something, and you say, no, you can't cut my power, most companies agree to this kind of contract because it gives them a lower rate. So it's not that difficult. It's been in practice for a while. What's much harder is residential. People generally don't enter into these sorts of contracts. People want power when they want it. They want to run their dishwasher and their, you know, air conditioner full blast at peak.
My favorite story is how Richard Nixon liked to turn the air conditioner up so he could turn on a fireplace in the summertime.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, please continue. I'm sorry. I just got that image of Nixon sitting in front of the fireplace.
So that's one example. There are other companies that one of them is called Leap, which is a California startup, but there are others. Mm-hmm. They create virtual power plants by collecting the energy from, let's say, your solar panels or other micro power plants in your home, or from electric vehicles, which are capable of generating power when they're sitting around most of the time, you know, idle in a garage, and they aggregate these disparate sources of energy, and they actually feed it in as a new source of energy into the grid right at peak so that they get the maximum prices and prevent blackouts. And so these are concepts and ideas that have been promoted for decades. Indeed, as you kindly pointed out, a book I wrote more than a decade ago, Power to the People, advocated a shift towards this kind of nimble, decentralized approach to thinking about energy. Because again, the cheapest electron is an electron which we don't need to generate. That is avoided use, energy efficiency, demand management, turning down the thermostat, or getting a better service from a more efficient refrigerator or air conditioner so that you didn't need that extra electron or megawatt in the first place. The second best one is to try to generate the power as close to the use as possible, meaning Tesla Powerwall in your garage, like many people in Vermont have. They lead the country in on-site generation and smart generation. Because if you produce power at a very distant centralized power plant, you have a lot of transmission losses trying to get the power to your home, and including the risk in California that wildfires will bring down your transmission or distribution lines, because they're not undergrounded, they're above ground, and they're at risk of fire. Well, if you have distributed power, that solves that problem. And even a utility like PG&E, the main Northern California utility that has suffered from the mishandling of these wildfires, they have just installed for remote areas in Northern California self-contained distributed power units. In other words, the big power utility that typically sends power lines to your house has now opted to install local generation at people's homes.
Positive news from Vijay Vajaswaran of The Economist magazine. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.